So we're here in Brewlab, and I am with that pair. There is no other pair, apparently, than that pair, hence the use of the word that. And you are?
Lorna Shaw.
And?
I'm Kat Bond.
Now, I first saw your show a few years back when you were the Silky Pair in Brighton, and you were a bit mad, which is always a good start to comedy. Have you got more sane? Have you got more sensible? Have you colluded and joined the mainstream?
Unfortunately not, no. We're still mad. We're still a bit silly. We try to make very different shows. We try to make more mainstream shows, and we end up making the same thing. I think the combination of the two of us results in silliness and a little bit of chaos. So it has remained so since you first saw us. I think we've... I think there was mention of excessive amounts of props, and we took that from you, Paul, and we've cut down a few of our props. So we've taken your advice.
We've got a smaller suitcase this year.
Smaller suitcase, bigger ideas.
Well, I was just thinking about you poor guys coming up to Edinburgh, that's all it was. I was just trying to save you a bit of carrying stuff.
Yeah.
But now you're playing football stadiums. I mean, is it different?
Playing football stadiums.
You've got bigger, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't got bigger.
Yeah. I thought I'd lost weight, actually. But, we've sort of grown a bit over the years, and we sort of moved from free fringe to doing a paid venue. But we've kind of stayed rooted in terms of we're back at the Caves again. So we've stayed at the Just the Tonic Caves in a slightly bigger venue this year. But trying to grow at the right rate. At which our fan base is growing. But yeah, who knows, maybe football stadium next year.
Yeah.
There's a bit of mention of football, isn't there, in the show, so maybe that'll lure the sponsors in.
I suppose what I'm also asking, though, is you've got Bryony Kimmins doing Fake It to Make It, also kind of talking about wanting to give up the fringe, because she's always wanted to be on the fringe of her own self, and she does, you know, by the time you hit the Traverse, you're mainstreaming. She's worried that she's mainstreaming. I mean, is there a danger that you just, if you keep coming here, you end up just becoming mainstream versions of yourself rather than fringe versions of yourself?
I guess there's always, that. But it depends how you view that and whether you see that as a negative or a positive thing. I mean, we'd really love to reach as many people as we can with what we're doing. But that's the double-edged sword, isn't it? And the fringe should be about fringe acts and people who are new and trying new things, and audiences shouldn't be pulled away from those acts that are doing that and towards the more mainstream comedy. But equally, you do want to make that move to those bigger audiences, so it's tricky.
But I'm still challenging that. We'll start with the miserable stuff and we'll sort of cheer up in a minute. It just that we want to reach as many people as we can. That's the model that corporations talk about, and that's also the fringe disease, the fringe addiction. And some people are saying we don't want to reach as many people as we can. We don't want to grow. I mean, cancer is growth that just is out of control. It's we want to reach a certain kind of audience for our work. So,
I think we would not compromise what we want to make in order to get huge amounts of audiences. I feel like you obviously want people, you want to reach as many people who you think will enjoy the show as possible, and you want people to see it and respond to it so that the show can grow and relate to it. But I think you're right. I think there is danger in saying, I haven't got a target audience, just I want everyone to like it. That's dangerous for yourself. It's also dangerous for your show, because not everyone is going to like it. And thank God, because you're making something very specific. I think the thing that we love about Edinburgh is reaching like new audiences and performing to strangers and people who we sort of make judgments and don't think that they would necessarily enjoy it. So I think we're still discovering who that audience is. Our show this year is very interactive. It's very dependent on the audience. So that's been kind of a bit of an experiment for us each day to work out what's working and what's not, and things that we just want to keep in just because we like it, and things that are not working and what to change and what to evolve. So yeah, I agree, it'd be horrible just to say I just want to set out all these big venues and not give it you know, not care about what you're actually making would be negative.
I mean, so last miserable philosophical question. It's not miserable at all, really. But so my theory also is that as things grow, and I've seen it a lot at Edinburgh, they tend towards mediocrity. And you guys are really unhinged in all the right ways. You do really kind of different stuff. It's very experimental. And so the danger is, as you just keep doing more gigs, and it's what do they like and what does the venue want, that you end up sort of plateauing a bit on your own creativity. No, not happening, not going to happen. You're going to stop it happening.
I think, like Kat said, I think, we don't want to compromise on that. We want to keep making the kind of comedy that we find exciting to make. And I think it is about finding your audience. And when you're playing to smaller audiences, that's harder in a way, because particularly when you're a new act, because you can't determine who's going to walk through the door so much, because people aren't necessarily coming to see that pair because they know us. They're coming to see a show that they've heard is good, so you sometimes get a real cross-section of audience who aren't all necessarily the people who really dig what we're doing. But really the move needs to be towards finding the right people for the show, and you want a room full of 80 people who kind of get our humour and are like our demographic seeing our stuff. But that's really hard to achieve, and I suppose if, as you get bigger, if you're playing to like huge audiences, you almost, I don't know, you get a watered down audience, like you get more, I don't know, the odds of people laughing are bigger, but not necessarily everybody's laughing, whereas we like to get a room full of less people all kind of on board with us, you know what I mean, and that feels more attainable. What was the question?
Oh, I don't know, it was a really good one. So the egg timers have turned properly and finished here, so I'm going to do a really long intro to my next question so you can pour your tea. When I first saw the Silky pair in Brighton, what I was impressed with was that it was very off the wall, it was very different, it was very creative, it was very fast-paced, and I hadn't quite seen comedy like it at the Brighton Fringe for a long time, so I was really, really pleased to see that they were doing that work. And as the tea's now been poured, my question to you is, do you love doing kid shows?
Yeah, can't get enough of it. We've done a lot of work with kids, haven't we? Like, and our show this year plays on us being kids entertainers. But yeah, it's that fine line between not letting your part-time job take over your life, because it's easy when the thing you do to make a bit of extra cash on the side is something you enjoy. You have to just be careful it doesn't take you away from the reason you started doing that thing and what that was meant to sustain you in.
So to be clear, there's two parts to this question. One is, you know, like actors talk about, I'm doing another effing corporate job, you know, because I have to, or, you know, doing some call centre work to top it up. This isn't, there's a danger that if you end up doing too much of that you lose your mojo.
Yeah, exactly. And it's difficult because obviously when you're starting out in something that isn't, you know, that you're not making a living from, you need to do other things, and nobody wants to spend their time doing anything that doesn't fulfill them. But yeah, you just have to be careful that those other things that you're trying to do don't,
I'll give you,
enjoy them more, unless you enjoy them more and then just do them. But I just find that I don't enjoy doing children's parties as much as I enjoy doing comedy, but it does take over because it's time consuming.
Right, so you're a bit of a good brand now. I'll give you 150 grand each this year to do a really mediocre CBBC show scripted by me.
When do we start?
I think I've read a script that you've written. I thought it was really good, so yeah, I'm up for it.
Yeah, well, 150 grand, yeah. It's the same, like, as an actor. Like, we go to sort of commercial castings, don't we?
How many people will see it?
Yeah, how many people will see it?
Well, I did once ask that to a comedy performance artist who basically said they would rather die, of course. And then somebody else said, you idiot, I'd have done it for 10 grand. So as you continue to develop your comedy, where does your material come from? Are you being mad in the street? Do you sit around a table now like a BBC comedy writing team? How do you create your stuff?
We're trying to create it more up on our feet, and this year's certainly been a case of having some ideas written down on a piece of paper, trying to learn it, not having enough time to learn it, and then it coming out on stage and working out what it is there. I think it's been really important for us to, like, just get up, because we did have a stage where we just wrote the whole show and it was far more sort of scripted, and we're just trying to be a bit freer this year and try to use the just be in the moment and use the clown training that we've had and try and remember that and respond to stuff. But where's it come from?
Yeah.
I mean, if I followed you around with a camera then, so am I seeing you guys, you know, ever just sitting in a cafe, you know, just with notebooks? How's it get written?
Yeah, you would see that. So if we have an idea, it's written down, however small. You know, it might be a word, it might be a phrase that then explodes into something bigger. But our ideas come from anything and everything, really. And character observations, real life experiences.
Been real life situations. Yeah. What would be funny? Luna and I have been taking little videos of us on the way to our children's parties and send them to each other and just trying to respond to actually how we feel in that moment when we're going to do a party and the weird, odd interactions you have with people and the feeling that you are a bit of a servant to these children and the parents. It's just, there's a funny dynamic and there's things happening all the time. So, yeah, a lot of it comes from that this year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From real life experiences.
And we really wanted to play on, the madness of what our part-time jobs do to us this year. And so we're sort of pushing our own personas to the extreme. So there's a lot in this show. A lot of the material is quite personal and from us, isn't it? And our own personalities, but sort of skewed and pushed to the extreme. So I think that I'm a real princess. And it's sort of getting in the mindset of that. And how would that look? A children's party entertainer who starts to believe she's actually Elsa from Frozen and has magical powers, and so some of the materials come out of that sort of mindset.
So is part of this that, say in the UK, the children's party world is mediocre in a lot of ways? It's got its structures, its expectations, its brands, its movie stuff, so you have to limit and compromise what you do and squeeze in as much of your joy as possible. But if it was different, if the children's party circuit was just accepting a child's version of whatever you want to do, you'd be more kind of up for it.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But you're
a bit chained.
A bit chained.
Yeah, a bit kind of hemmed in by the way it's done.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. The children's party world, I don't know, is very limited in a way, and everyone's trying to... Oh, I don't know, all the companies we work for...
Do you want to build a snowman? Sorry.
But yeah, there is
There's positives to it. Interacting with some lovely children, getting those endorphins going, physically kind of doing something rather than sitting down in an office, which neither of us are brilliant at. So there are positives, but it's just, it's not the same as performing and creating comedy. Nice. So,
But we do send up some of those limitations of what you can do in a children's party. So, for example, you know, you're trying to create a magical experience for a group of children.
In a church hall.
For the children and also for the parents who have paid a lot of money to have you there. And you're really up against it, you know, in bigger ways than you are as a performer. Because as a performer, you're given a certain amount of respect and space to do what you do best. And as a children's entertainer, you kind of aren't in a way, because you get interruptions and there's a lot of unpredictable factors, like in our show we get interrupted by a caretaker coming in telling me to move my car, and it's a very real thing. It's like you're trying to create a fantastical world and then something like that happens.
Basically about the challenges of not really having that much money and trying to make comedy or trying to make anything with the limitations of having to work. But I think it's good, important to work, because it feeds you and engaging you outside in the world. I wouldn't like to just be sitting inside all the time just taking myself too seriously.
Yeah.
But that's basically the premise of it, and how that makes us feel and how it is more of a challenge to continue and to carry on to do something when you are struggling to make cash.
Yeah,
that's basically what the show's about.
And it is about trying to make the most amount of money, because there are elements of doing the parties where you're like, this is a bit like, we reference the gender stereotyping in our show of the little boys and little girls, and that's quite a big thing that we play on, that's sort of the princess element. You're kind of like, what am I actually reinforcing here? Do I want to be dressing up as a princess, telling little girls that
they're beautiful
and complimenting on their appearance over their personalities or whatever? But having said that, I think Elsa is quite a good role model for, as princesses go. Little boys like her as well.
And is there then, are you almost like an inner sense of a balance? It's almost like the scales, that if we do too much of that work, in a week, it's starting to eat away what we really, really love doing. And that's when you feel like, no, we've got to get that balance reset somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're constantly trying to strike that right balance, and it's really tricky. And I guess, yeah, we both come from quite working class backgrounds, don't we? And
let's talk about class.
So yeah,
our show doesn't.
We just haven't had the luxury of being able to just make our work until we're successful. We have to spend some time working jobs that are paying us in the interim period.
I suppose that's also a reflection of how good the work is. You know, I suppose we're just trying to create some really good things and hopefully try and make more of a living out of that. And we've got some brilliant people trying to help us to do that, and are bit by bit trying to piece together other things that we do with both actors and trying to work that out. So it's not been all like doom and gloom, it's just that has been like this year, so we'll wait and see.
And we figured if we're spending time doing these parties and that's, you know, taking up a portion of our time, we might as well use it, we might as well try and use it and find something from it.
So as you head into your Fringe run, are you gonna do this forever? Is it just going to be the two of you? Are we going to have that trio? Is there room for a man? You know, where's it all heading?
I think we are going to work together and try and create some different things. We've written a lovely script, which we're sending out, a bit of a plug, and we'd like to do some radio stuff as well. So I think we want to work together, and also we've got individual ideas we want to explore as well, which we're kind of looking at. We're always open for collaborations, but I think that pair has got mileage, and we still enjoy doing it, and we're just trying to work out a way, whether that be another live show or whether that be a script or a play. You know, we'll continue to use this dynamic that we've built and enjoy each other as much as possible.
Yeah. What she said.
So that pair is kind of available for kids' parties, but there is a script and there is collaboration to be had, so listen and respond. Thank you very much.
Thanks.